everyone, welcome back after a week off of vacation and other malaise. I am Jeremy. Shahid's joining me as always, and this is We Watch Stuff. Yeah, I messed up the intro. Cool. So, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just enjoying my 2 days off in a row playing Spider-Man and disabling bombs, because that seemed to be the only safe way to deal with bombs on this day.
Wait. Huh? You're disabling bombs? Is Austin under attack again? Sometimes your woman just doesn't know her place, and she starts talking during the show. Yeah. Am I right or am I right, fellas?
So we're going to put a disclaimer in after that. No, I finished the main story. I'm doing a DLC content with Black Cat and Imagia.
Okay.
And
I thought you were talking about the Obama and Clinton getting pipe bombs mailed to him stuff.
No, I was alluding to that, so that's okay. why I made that joke.
Well, you said it, I started talking, and you took off. I'm going, did I seriously miss something big in the news today? Which wouldn't be a first, by the way.
Yeah, somebody made a joke like somebody woke up today and the United States turned into Gotham. Everybody's getting bombs mailed to them.
Okay, so speaking of going off the rails already, that picture you sent me. All right, so you haven't seen the CW shows. Which ones are you behind on?
I saw Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm behind two episodes of Flash. I didn't see The Last Arrow or Black Lightning. And I'm behind half episode behind on Supergirl. So basically almost everything.
Oh, okay. Well, if you see Supergirl, whatever. It's the same. I'll let you watch. But it's the same problems that they have with that show all the time. They don't want to be a superhero show. They want to try and be something more. And it's not working so far. So, but no, that picture you sent me of Bane, I honestly thought that was Zod, like in the Elseworlds crossover that they're gonna do, because oh boy, that looked just weird. But
they call it casual day Darth Vader, or somebody if a Transformer ate a Terminator and crafted out like that thing is just like. It goes into the whole thing. We talk about how costumes are hard, and most of the time, like, people crack jokes on them. But even for, like, TV standards, that just looks like what is this? Like, it looked like Darth Vader and, like, going to the mall.
The part that confused me on it, besides most of it, so he's got this mask, and he's got all this stuff on, and then he takes the time to mousse his hair. Like, I mean, I guess if you have, like, you know, something wrong with you, you can still take care of yourself, but it just looked out of place.
And you know who the actor is?
No.
Shane West.
Why is that familiar?
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen played Tom Sawyer. Like, he's been himself. He was on Nikita. What show was he on? Some teeny bopper show. I want to say Dawson's Creek.
Looking it up too. I tried to put Leave Extraordinary General okay. right out of my
once mind, and so. Again. Yeah, once and again. That's what he was on. So
let's see what he looks like.
Yeah, he's been.
Okay, I recognize him. Yeah. Wow. So I guess they're just like, screw it. We're not going to make fun of Tom Hardy anymore as Bane. So welcome, punching bag number two. Thanks for showing up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess they know it's their last season, so they're going to go out with a bang. But it's just funny when you see the CW doing their stuff with their shows, with their crossovers, and then you see what Fox is doing with Gotham. It's like, between those and the movies, it's like, yeah, drugs.
But you also said, though, that, like, Gotham's just batshit anyways.
Yeah, so like, Gotham, like, I'm not even surprised by Gotham. Like, that's... If you anybody who's seen Gotham wouldn't be that too much surprised because of how batshit crazy that show is. I just still laugh. Like, even for that, even by Gotham standards, that costume is like eye catching and not necessarily in a good way, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Gotham, I think, is just one I'm just going to get to when I've caught up on every single show I've ever wanted to watch, which, being 44 years old, that's never going to happen now.
Oh, good Lord. We were talking about before the show started. Yeah. It's too many TV shows that are out. Like, I tried to watch some stuff, and I started watching it, and then something, like, I used to be good. Like, I was good all through the summertime when nothing was on, and then I started watching Ozark, and I got through most of season one, and then I started watching The Purge and Mayans, and I was fine with that, and then The Gifted came back, and then it's like, oh boy, you know, and still wrestling, you know, then football season was a thing, mm-hmm. basketball season started, the CW shows all came back gradually, and even then I was like kind of keeping up. And then Daredevil dropped, and Man in a High Castle dropped, and I'm like, and somebody recommended, you need to watch this show. Oh, this movie Apostle came out, and then this came out, Maniac with Jonah Hill came out, and it's like, you turn around, like, Netflix has all these movies and shows you never even heard of with people that we like.
Okay, no exaggeration here. I think I read that Netflix comes out with anywhere between 30 to 50 new things a week, either shows, documentaries, movies.
Yes.
That they don't even push market. Or plug or anything, and it's nuts. I mean, I guess this may be right, but they're a bigger network than some networks are.
They're a bigger network than most networks.
Yeah.
Like, how many, like, days? They're a bigger network than, I want to say, like, single network shows, probably bigger network than any network, because it's kind of like they just have everything. Like, they have documentaries, comedy specials, dramas, movies. Like, you'll see something like an action movie with Antonio Banderas, and it's like, oh, you know, I didn't know he was doing that. Like, Jonah Hill and Emma Stone showing up on a Netflix show. The guys from The Raid, like, I was talking to you, like, the director of The Raid, The Apostle, this horror movie, like, this cult horror movie I heard was real good, and I found that out by accident. The actors from The Raid are in a separate action movie that's also on Netflix. I had no idea that was a thing. Like, sometimes I'm watching something, it's like, oh, action movie Antonio Banderas. Oh, okay, I didn't know this. Oh, it's, you know, Tony Jaa's in something with Dolph Lundgren again. I didn't know. Okay, maybe this is this. Oh, look, it's Sigourney Weaver in something. Or it's somebody something. Oh, it's a documentary about the history of basketball. Or somebody got a comedy special. Like, sometimes I watch stuff, I found out stuff by, like, accident.
Their comedy specials have gotten worse, though, which is unfortunate. Because they're giving stuff out to people who have been doing comedy for maybe 2 years. And it's like, okay. Anyways.
It's somebody for everybody. Yeah. Like they say, somebody got to kind of start somewhere, and all y'all do is get lucky once. And I think somebody put the point out, like, what Netflix is doing now is giving people a chance to do stuff that they couldn't do in, like, the movie theater. And then if it blows up, they can get, like, big movie stuff. Because, like, some directors just fight, you know what, I don't feel like dealing with Hollywood, fighting for budget, yada, yada, yada. Netflix can give me enough money for me to do what I want.
And so far, so good. They're making money.
Yeah, it's working. Like, they making oodles of money, and now it's kind of like they don't even worry about so much American money anymore because they basically got what they're going to get. They're moving forward, like, internet. Like, they're trying to get everybody else now.
And it's funny because they're letting stuff go as well. And it's funny, another show I forgot I need to catch up since I'm paying for the service is the DC Universe stuff. I still haven't watched. What the hell is this thing doing?
I haven't seen Titans. I tried out DC Universe once just to see how the streaming was. The streaming was great. I was just mad that my Apple TV doesn't have it. And my PlayStation or Xbox doesn't have it, so
yeah, I gotta watch it. I think that's a huge. Phone. I don't understand how it can't. You know what I mean? Like, why they knew this was coming for over a year? How can they not have the app ready for this stuff? Unless they don't want to carry it, which is always a problem as well. So
I mean, everybody don't watch stuff on their tablets. It's kind of like, if you got a big, like, for me, when I have it's funny because, like, when I have time, I prefer to watch my net like shows I like on my projector because it's like it just look a lot better than watching on TV. And I think it kind of plays into like how people watch stuff because what was it? It's like a random note. It was the what was it? The football game when the Eagles were playing Carolina, and I was watching it on like my tablet and my TV, and it was one of the plays where like the Eric Reed interception that was an interception, and it showed the angle. It's like, okay, hit the ground. It was moving incomplete. And I go on Twitter and they're well, like, oh, I didn't see hit the ground. I'm like, what are y'all watching on? Like, y'all got SD TVs? And then I'm wondering, like, depending on what you're watching on, it didn't look like it hit the ground. But like, if you got a big screen TV or like a high definition tablet, you see that. But then it goes into the same thing when you watch like certain shows and movies. Like certain stuff is not built to watch on a phone.
No,
like, you know, like you try to do, like, I never watch like a Marvel, like imagine watching the Avengers on your iPhone, no matter how big your iPhone is, like it is not the same.
Yeah, I tried watching was it Ragnarok on my phone because my old tablet was just junk, so it could never get anything to work right, and I'm watching it even though I'd already seen the movie, mind you. I went nah and just stopped. Like it's not as good. And oh well, but no, like the sports thing, like I don't want to talk specifically about that play, but watching that, like I'm looking at my TV watching that play, and I'm like, wait a minute, I thought it hit his arm, and like rolled on his arm. So and then after that game was over, we went out to lunch, and I went, so what do you think about getting a new TV? And not right now. We're gonna wait till the Thanksgiving deals, but
yeah, like it definitely makes a difference, like TVs and stuff. And leading to that, because I haven't talked to you about it in a while, and I brought up Spider-Man. Okay, with the disclaimer that I've never been like the biggest Spider-Man fan, and I made jokes about how like it's amazing Spider-Man is still broke after a zillion years, and that's just how people are comfortable. I will say that it's probably the game that closest makes you feel like a superhero, even above the Batman game. Like, it's not as good as the Batman games, but it's more fun. And I get the game because I heard the hype, everybody talking about it, and I'm just putting it on, not thinking about it, and then the music hits and you just see Spider-Man there standing on top of a building, and I didn't hit start for like 2 minutes. Like, that music is, like, so damn good. And it gets you in, like, the role, like, I'm about to fight crime. And then you pick the speakers, like, you know, have, like, you know, regular stereo headphones, soundbar, surround. And then they have, like, fully surround. Like, if you have, like, you know, if you have a basically a super system, like I have. Like, I have 12 speakers in my room.
God damn.
Like, I have seven. Like, nice. I have the three in the front, two in the side, two in the back, a big ass subwoofer, and then I have four in the ceiling for, like, you know, height effects. Yeah. And that's the first game that, like, took advantage of all that. So when you hit that, and you see, like, my screen is like 120 inches with a full surround thing, and you just see Spider-Man there just swinging, playing the music. I was like, yeah, I'm about to fight some goddamn crime. Like, it made you excited to be Spider-Man. And it's an awesome game with an awesome story. They kind of like mix and match from different universes, because like in this one, like Spider-Man's been Spider-Man for 9 years. Him and Mary Jane are broken up. Like, she works for the Bugle. He works for Dr. Octopus, but he's not evil yet. Like, you know, he's basically a scientist. Norman Osborn's mayor, like stuff like that.
I have an Xbox One, so I don't.
Yeah, and it's just a fun game with an awesome story. It's like I was just playing it before we started the thing, because I just did the DLC, and they add the Black Cat there, and you have some missions with her and the mob, so. Yeah, it's definitely fun, and you know, people posted pictures of how it looks and taking selfies and everything like that, and it's just, it makes you feel like, you know, it makes you feel like Spider-Man. Like, this is swinging, the swinging is perfect, the gadgets him. One of the missions is, you know, he gets evicted, so they throw away his book bag with the spider tech, so he has to go to the dumpster to get the stuff before he throw it away, and then he's gotta, like, crash at Aunt May's because he's going to go to Mary Jane's. Like, no, we broke up, so that I don't want to be a dickhead. So I'm going to go to the shelter with the other homeless people and, like, basically get a nap. Like, that's one of the missions.
Wow. All right, that's different.
Like, it just, you know, it basically reinforced, like, yeah, I'm this struggling guy that can't, you know, I'm fighting crime, but I can barely pay my bills. Like, it's the whole Spider-Man experience. It's not the glamorous Spider-Man stuff. So
I wonder why they made that a PlayStation exclusive. I know why.
Not only that, it's like, look, Sony. It's Sony.
Oh, yeah. Duh. I forgot about that.
I mean, there you go. It's kind of like, yeah, like Sony owns the place. You know, Sony made the PlayStation, and Sony, Spider-Man's still a Sony product, more or less. And I was just laughing because I seen a lot of jokes. People are like, Xbox, I'm playing Call of Duty 495, and these assholes get to play God of War and Spider-Man back to back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about God of War already. Yeah, see, I'm in the technology phase where I'm like, now that I can afford it again, it's time to start upgrading stuff. So I saw, like, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out Friday, and I'm trying not to buy it just because I understand how time-consuming it is. And not because it's not going to be good. It's going to be because it's going to be good, and I'm not going to do anything else. So...
Yeah, I'm waiting on that game too, because it's kind of like, it's too much. If I start playing that game, I'll never catch up on shows. Yeah. And I haven't even played Tomb Raider yet. I haven't even opened that yet because I just finished Spider-Man. And Red, like, I remember playing the first Red Dead, and I wasn't thinking that much. I'm like, I played that game for like a damn month. And I'm somebody that grew out of like Grand Theft Auto. Like, I got to the point where, like, this seemed kind of childish, but I played Red Dead all day long. Like, I don't know if it was because it was a Western or it felt more adult. It just felt like more enjoyable for me. And everything we've seen about this one seems like it's just that on steroids. And just like you said, like, it's only so many hours of the day that I can only invest in so much stuff. And it's like, it gets to the point where it's too much. Like, it's too many shows, it's too many movies. Like, it's good that movies are kind of like, it's been a down period the past few weeks, because, I mean, I got enough stuff as it is.
All right, and I totally agree with everything you're saying. Listen to what we're saying, though. There's too much good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, like I said before we started the show, Kevin was talking about how, what he coined, and I like it, so I'm giving him full credit for this, WWE fatigue. And I wasn't watching 205 Live until I started hearing how good it was. And then I realized I'm watching 3 hours at least of Monday, and I'm actually going next week, and then watching 2 hours yesterday. And then if you watch Mix Max Challenge, it's another, is it hour? Or is that 45 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever?
30 to 45 minutes. And then Wednesday is 4 hours now.
For now, yeah, because Mae Young ends this week at least.
Yeah, and then it'll just be 3 hours because it's like Mae Young ends, but they got WWE UK, NXT, 205 Live, regular NXT, Mae Young Classic. Then if Lucha Underground comes, like, even just WWE, it's like you got a whole bunch of time, not counting like weekend shows, but then you take into account if you watch New Japan, if you watch Impact, Lucha Underground. In addition, like, I'm looking at, like, my day yesterday, I had, like, everything recording. And I'm like, I'm on, like, I had one time, I'm trying to watch the Sixers game. The Flash was on. The Gifted was on. SmackDown was on. And it's like, yeah, it's like, did you watch this? Like, no, I didn't watch The Flash or Black Lightning or The Gifted or Mayans or The Purge. Yeah. I barely watched SmackDown. I had the day off from work. And I wasn't able to keep up with myself because I was trying to watch Daredevil.
Well, yeah, and the thing with all that stuff is, well, and I know this is old man stuff, we got a job.
Yes.
We're both married as well. And then we got other outside stuff. So, I mean, unless you got a job where you can just watch stuff all day, you're fucked. I mean, there's no way around it. There aren't that many rainy days here. So to sit there and say, hey, we'll save this for a rainy day, well, that also includes saving everything else that I'm putting off for a rainy day, you know? So it still doesn't get done. And, like, I have the entire Purge recorded. I haven't watched a single episode yet.
Yeah, I watched, like, the first three, and then I got caught behind. I was like, I'll just watch. At least now it's kind of like this era between streaming and DVR and stuff like that, you can catch up. Like, the old days, if you missed it, you just missed it. Like, you had to wait till they pop up on a random rerun and everything like that. Like, and it's funny where we can complain about this, but I remember watching, like, shows, like, even shows that had, like, seasons, like Star Trek Next Generation, and the season ended, and you had to wait, like, a year. And if you missed a piece and missed episode, you better hope you there when they showed a rerun, and you had no idea when they showed the rerun. They showed it when they showed it. Like, you were screwed. Now it's kind of like, it's more a time thing. But like you said, you know, some people have jobs where they can watch stuff at work. Mm-hmm. I can only do that on like weekends or holidays where I can like watch stuff at work. Rest of the time, like, I actually have to like work, and I can't be, you know, like, I can't watch stuff on my computer or on my phone when I'm busy doing like medical orders. Like, I don't have that type of job. Like, some people have that job. Like, oh, I listen to podcasts at work. I gotta pick up the phone like all the time. I gotta type and like focus. I can't just listen to a podcast. Like, I listen to podcasts when I'm driving to work or driving home, but that's only like a 20-minute drive each way.
Yeah, that is one nice thing about like a podcast, and that I can just listen to them because I'm never on the phone unless they're doing some call, like business call. That's stupid. But so podcasts were always all right, and then every once in a while I can, as long as it's not something that you have to pay attention to every little detail. Like, I can watch Supergirl or Flash or something like that. But even Flash, this season of Flash, which I know you're behind, they've actually done some clever stuff where you actually do need to see it. So I get it.
I've heard that. Like, it's funny where, like, you can't. I've at the point where I've kind of moved away from shows where I got to spend too much time on, like, Legion. No, like, I'm not watching the show. I gotta watch twice per episode. Like, I gotta watch an episode twice to figure out what's going on. And it's not because I'm dumb. It's just because somebody trying to be too cute with directing. Like, I do not have the time for all that. So those esoteric shows got pushed by the wayside.
Yeah, Mr. Robot's one, but I don't even know when that's coming back.
That's the only one. I'll do just because I actually like it. I think it's coming soon, but who knows? Soon, like, they don't like USA doesn't really have a set schedule when it comes to that type of stuff. It's like it comes when it comes, and this season's kind of staggered. But yeah, I didn't think when I was in my 20s that I would have this type of problem where it's like it's just too many good things. Like, I have the money now to do whatever I want, but I don't have the time to do any of it.
Mm-hmm. Which makes it easier to save, I guess, but we just find other creative ways of getting rid of stuff. So,
yeah.
No, it's, and even with like Netflix. So we've talked about this before, but you've got Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, DC Universe, WWE, FX, AMC is doing the same thing now, where you can sign up for their AMC, not Prime Plus, I think it's called.
Oh, it isn't the same nonsense FX is doing.
Yes, but you also get. You can watch like the beginning of new episodes of Walking Dead a week early or something. I went, the beginning?
What about the rest of it?
Yeah, like how is that? How is that appealing?
Like Stars has their thing where if you watch streaming, you can watch stuff early. Like it'll come on streaming like the day before it'll come on TV. Mm-hmm. So I could see that watching the first 15 minutes. Yeah, I looked at my streaming stuff. And I have Netflix, I have WWE Network, which is apparently about to change their pricing structure and have multiple price ranges.
Adding stuff.
Yeah, they're adding stuff, which is fine. I'm like, if you add stuff, I'll pay more. I've always been like that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, I have that, I have Hulu, I have Amazon Prime, I have Crunchyroll, I have DC Universe, I have Shudder. It's like I have I have ESPN Plus, and it's kind of like, oh, you know, it's $5. Oh, it's just $7. Oh, it's just $13. And then next thing you know, it's like you add them up. It's like $80.
Yeah.
In addition to your cable bill, because I still have cable. Like my cable bill now, because of because of NFL Sunday Ticket and NBA League Pass is $350 a month. So I'm spending over $400 easily on TV, and I barely have time to watch it.
Yeah, and it's also like price wise, that really gets you because it's like you say $80. Like, yeah, that's a month.
Yes.
So then once you get to 12, that's 96. Yeah, at least $96. No, I messed that up. $960. Sorry, I was going too low.
Yeah, almost $1,000 a year. Yeah.
So
it sounds a bit. Crazy. It sounds a lot. Yeah, it sounds a lot bigger when you think about, oh, it's like $1,000 a year. Like, because people talked about the whole, oh, can't wait till you get rid of cable. You can just pick what you want to watch. And then everybody had the same idea. And it's like, you end up paying more and watching less.
Yeah. And let's not forget, Disney's coming out with their streaming service. And mm-hmm. I've got to figure, and I know we were going to talk about this, but I got to figure that this was the first indication or results of this just came through with Netflix canceling, in air quotes, Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, they're canceling, but by the time they were going to come around again, wouldn't Disney's service already been getting off the ground?
I'm like, because this stuff's going to come out next year or the year after. Like, I'm guessing, like, late next year. Because, like, they already started doing stuff, like, planning with stuff. And it's kind of like the whole, we couldn't come up with, you know, we had creative differences. We couldn't come to agreement. Or some people, like, maybe it caused too much ratings. I'm like, Luke Cage Season 1 apparently crashed Netflix. And plenty of people watch Iron Fist Season 1, surprise us, and it's like, this is Netflix. They throw money. They pay Chris Rock like $50 million for two shows.
Yeah.
I doubt money was an issue to do Luke Cage. It's kind of like the whole thing. Disney's moving their stuff away, and Netflix is like, we got enough stuff. They don't need Marvel stuff anymore.
No.
Like, it was a big deal when they had it, when they first had it. But that was like, what, 4 years ago, 3 years ago? And it's like, now they got more shows than they can throw a stick at. So
yeah.
It's not really a priority. So it's like, they want to do their own stuff. And I'm sure Disney want to do their own things. And
well,
yeah. Like
Netflix
the whole-
also gets to own whatever they do now, which is the big mm-hmm. thing. Because any of the Marvel stuff, you know, it's not a favor to Marvel because they're making money off of it. But yeah, it doesn't need to happen anymore. So why keep making stuff that you can't own outright or you have to split the difference with DVD sales, which is what they ended up doing with the Marvel shows, right? They all came out on Blu-ray collections, all this stuff. So, you know, that's less money for them. And, yeah, it's like, why would we want to deal with that stuff? So, I don't know. I get it. The one thing I thought was funny was when Iron Fist got canceled, people were making fun of it. Like, well, no one watched that anyways, which was totally wrong.
Yeah.
And then I actually downloaded all the episodes so I can watch it from work. I figure I can get through 9 episodes pretty quick. So, hopefully by Friday I can get that out of the way.
Yeah.
But
like that joke would have been, yeah, like that Iron Fist joke would have been better off after Season 1. It's like not after the Season 2 where it was actually like good, like real good, to the point where it says a lot that people are kind of mad when they hear Iron Fist was canceled. That tells you how good, that tells you how much Iron Fist improved, that people actually felt a certain way even before you're thinking like, oh, it's just going to Disney. Because not only was it good, it set up to be like, I told you, like I was really excited for Season 3. I'm assuming like if Disney wants to do something, but even then it's kind of like, is how much is Disney movies and Disney TV gonna be under the same page with like everything going on? Because I know before that was the issue where DC TV shows were doing their one thing, the Netflix shows were doing their thing, and then the movies were separate. And then now it's kind of like, they're gonna have everything under one roof. But how will that, you know, how is that going to work? How much interaction?
Yeah, I would say leave it, pretty much leave it alone. Because, I mean, if they're smart, because I mean I know you're not done yet, so that's why we're not talking about it, guys. Daredevil, I absolutely loved the season, and after you know an up and down second season, and then the fart of the Defenders, it was really good to see it get back on track. Violent as hell too, which damn. All right, never mind. I can't. There's one scene in particular that just blew my mind, and it was such, it was so out of the blue and handled so crassly that it's just stuck with me. So when you're done, we'll talk about it. But
yeah, but it's funny where this show was a violent show from Jump Street, like yes. From season one, and that's the first thing that kind of stood out, like, yeah, this ain't your mama's Marvel. But then you kind of think out, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is violent as hell, too. People tend to forget about it because on ABC, and it's like, yeah, that, like, the TV show, it's ironic that the TV show seemed to be a lot more violent, no matter what network, than the movies, because not only is Marvel like that, but so was DC for that matter. Like, the DC TV shows weren't, like, super violent. They were way more violent than... It's funny, people talking about, like, the grim, dark DC universe. How much blood do you remember seeing in those movies?
Yeah.
Like, for all the violence that people made fun of being too much, it's funny, people talking about, do you bleed? You will. It's like, yeah, Superman getting a cut under above his eye was a big plot point, because that's the first time you saw somebody bleed after buildings getting dropped on people for, like, three out, like, two and a half movies. So, yeah, no, I just bring up the whole thing, like, not necessarily change how they're being made, but kind of, like, the excuse before was, you know, everybody's not under the same roof. We got to make, you know, concessions because one guy's running this, another guy's running that. If you got your own network, you got everybody on the same, you know, umbrella.
Yeah.
It just be kind of hard where I don't, you know, like you got to pretend, oh, you know, the Avengers don't exist or something like that. It's like, and then people can stop asking this whole thing. Like, you got the Kingpin, y'all all on the same roof. Why isn't he a Spider-Man villain when he's a Spider-Man villain in the comics?
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, the Kingpin wasn't exactly a huge Spider-Man villain.
I mean, if it depends on
the era, I guess.
Yeah, because, like, if you grew up in the 90s in the cartoon, yeah, the Kingpin was, like, the main villain of the Spider-Man cartoons. Like, you had other villains, but he was, like, the first one, and he was always there in the background. And, I tell you all the time, a lot of people's first impression of Marvel stuff was the animated shows, whether it's 80s, like, 90s, it was X-Men and Spider-Man. So X-Men is kind of like, you remember that team of Cyclops, Storm, Wolverine, yada, yada, yada. And that's where you get most of your X-Men memories from. Spider-Man, it was like the cartoon. Like, even if you read the comics, it was like, I'm sure a lot more people watch the cartoons than read comic books, like Spider-Man comic books. Yes, so
accessible, which is the main thing. Yeah, it's the main thing, really.
Yeah, so, and it's not like Vincent D'Onofrio is like some small, fried, no-name guy. He's Vincent D'Onofrio. So, I would just think the only issue would kind of be the tone, because he's a lot more, because I think it's different because Spider-Man's still a teenager in the movies, and it's kind of like thrown off, like, the tone would seem real weird. You go from high school to being like a mob boss.
Yeah, God. Yeah, because I think, doesn't Marvel plan on keeping him in school anyways?
Yeah, it's going to be real funny, you know. Like, it's fine now, because he still looks like a teenager. It's going to be real funny 6 years ago, 6 years from now, when he's supposed to be a senior in high school, and he's trying to cut his beard off because he's 28.
I can just say, well, you know, the spider stuff, you know, I'm growing hair quicker. I don't know, something. Mm-hmm. But yeah. But no, I don't know, man. It's easy to talk about, but D'Onofrio is so goddamn good in Daredevil that it'd be a shame if, like, all this stuff just kind of goes to the wayside. You know, I would hope that with Disney taking over, they wouldn't try to reboot anything. All right, we're gonna make Daredevil a movie now. It's like, no. Yeah, with that cast, yeah, because that's the one we all know now. But
let me ask you a question. Have you ever caught yourself doing the D'Onofrio Kingpin impersonation?
That's kind of how I am anyways.
Because it's just funny, just the way he talks, like, you know, like, you sound like, I didn't have a problem with you drinking the last juice. I let bygones be bygones. But you had to say something about Vanessa, so I got to break your neck.
I wish you would have finished it, because one of the tragically funny lines of this season is in the very last episode. And I can't tell you what it is without giving away what happens.
Yeah,
it's I actually laughed because it is... It's funny, but also just speaks to how terrifying this guy is. And it's kind of like an innocent line, really, but just in the scope of things and what the line is, you're like, wait, what? So,
yeah. He's just a scary dude without trying to be scary. It's like he just comes off as like menacing. Like,
he's kind of a scary dude in real life, too. He's supposedly a really intimidating guy. And
I can tell just by how he carries himself, he carries himself like super. Because remember, we were talking about when he first got cast, and we was like, "Are we sure?" Because not the acting is fine, but he didn't seem big enough. I know we don't have those questions anymore, and then it's like it kind of like you compare him to Michael Clark Duncan. It's like, well, of course he's gonna look small compared to Michael Clark Duncan, like a damn monster. Like, yeah, but no, it's like he's very. And he's menacing the way that most comic villains aren't menacing. Like, most of the time when they're menacing, they're all, like, over the top or devious or, like, even, like, charming or, like, funny. He's just kind of like, I ain't messing with him at all. But he has, like, a whole twisted honor thing. Like, I understand where you come from. It's all, like, the whole interaction with... both the agent, the FBI agent, and then with Bullseye, is kind of like, he basically got to him like, he found out what their issues were, and he basically played on that, like, I'm not going to abandon you. You should be, like, if you were in a mask, you'd be a hero, and I understand that, and you don't have to like me, but we can respect each other as men, and, like, break it down. It's like, at the end, it's like, you know, he's got a point. And then you're dealing with damaged people, sometimes that's all it takes is a point. And a funny thing, Cam made the joke saying, like, the whole thing of Daredevil season 3 started because the FBI agent had bad credit. And I'm like, yeah, this, trust me, that will get you disqualified from government jobs. So that's not some made-up plot point. Like, that's a real thing. I know when I had my job, they checked my credit score, and they asked you questions about, do you owe any money that somebody can, like, leverage you to be a traitor against America?
Well, it's the banks, so yeah. Yeah, the traitors of America are, they'll hold it over me because that's what they do.
Yeah, but yeah, they asked me about an old ass phone bill from the 90s. So his credit score was like 550. I'm surprised he still had a job. And before we move over from Daredevil, how did Bullseye have a job?
I was wondering the same thing. Because that didn't seem to make sense. If they're going through all this, and then unless it's explained how, well, I guess Fisk could, he manipulated everything, so maybe, oh like, no, maybe how'd he even get in the academy? This is like,
yeah, like, stuff. unless his stuff was sealed, and that's the only thing I'm thinking, like, they didn't know. I'm like, it'd been no way in the world he would have passed initial background checks and, like, behavioral things, and just been an FBI special agent, like. After you see, like, his flashback story, anything like that, like, I was just wondering, like, even with current events and you see certain stuff now, like, that's the one that kind of stood out. It was like, it must have had to have been sealed. Like, there's no way in hell he would have got past, like, week one, but.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't even think of that. I was just like, the rest of this is so crazy, and Fisk's grasp, God, it's hard to say, is so wide reaching, as you'll see. That it just you just figure, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, I'm not going to question any of this stuff. I'm sad to see Luke Cage and Iron Fist go, just because to wrap that part up. I'm enjoying Luke Cage season 2. If we ever get around to finishing it, you know, when football season ends, at least college. But yeah, I just don't want Marvel to let this stuff go by the wayside, because I thought there was something good, and you know, I just don't want it to go away, because I enjoyed it, basically. But Netflix also, they're not going to be hurting for programming either. So I've been trying to find like how many they actually release per week, and I'm having a hard time finding it. But it's insanity. So you just know that they don't need the stuff anymore. watching, like I was trying to find Apostle too, and I think I found it. There's a lot of stuff named Apostle, by the way. So I don't know how that got by the studios, but if it's Netflix, like, don't worry about it. We don't have that movie on Netflix anyways. So, but it's weird how a company that made its money sending out DVDs and Blu-rays has turned itself into the biggest non-Hollywood production company in the world. I mean, you can't even consider it like an independent. It's just, it is a legit movie studio now. Movie, TV, and comedy, whatever. I mean, it's just insanity to me. So, I guess I wish I would have bought some stock, too. Oh, well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people could, like, this whole, what? You going to just have movies online? You going to mail move DVDs? What? Like, people, Netflix, Blockbuster had a chance to buy Netflix, and they was like, this seems dumb. I have no idea what y'all talking about. This is not going to work. And remember, Netflix's initial plan is like, you know, you could rent movies and DVDs, and they mail it to you, and you mail them back. And it was like, she was like, this don't make any sense. And it worked. And then the whole, you can stream stuff on the internet. And, like, who would have guessed if you had, like, the old cell phones and, like, the early 2000s that would be a thing. Like, nobody, like, come on now. You're trying to tell me you're going to watch a TV show on your phone? What type of jets and shit is this? It would have been a thing people would have said. And now that's all everyone does. Like,
it's funny, even with, like, the talk about cell phones, I asked Elise this the other day, and I'm being legit because I have not looked this up. Is there a cell phone company or a cell phone plan that doesn't have unlimited calling or unlimited text or unlimited, like, data seems to be the only thing someone, like, charges you for? So, like, is there still a company that charges you long distance on your cell phone service?
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like how many times you actually talk on the phone.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you only talk when it's people that you don't want to talk to, or it's something extremely important, or somebody you do want to talk to and you want to actually, like, use nuance. But no, it's like this, things have changed so much where phones are for everything beyond making phone calls, because making phone calls, the quality is horrible because that's so secondary to what you're doing. And it's just one of those, it's just a funny thing where some smart people kind of guess where things were going, and most people made fun of it, and like, look at them now. Like, we made the joke where Sony, had they showed more, you know, common sense, they could be running the Marvel Universe. They could have bought all of them. Mm-hmm. And it was like, nah, we just want Spider-Man. We don't care about this other shit. And look at it now. Like, you know, it's not like Sony is necessarily struggling as a company, but things would look a lot different had they have done that. But quick aside before we move to wrestling, somebody made a funny joke. You remember those rumors when Thor first came out and people were talking about, like, Triple H was one of the people up for the role of Thor?
Oh, wow. Forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody laughed about it. Like, of course you never had to. Imagine if he did it, though. How different would not just movies. How different would WWE look? You wouldn't have NXT, basically.
Well, but are you thinking it would be a rousing success, though?
What if it was? What if he was like...
All right, if we're going to play that way...
Yeah. I mean, because it's kind of like Chris... Like, because who was Chris Hemsworth before Thor?
He was the guy 5 minutes in Star Trek.
Yeah, and he was the guy that was in Cabin in the Woods that came out after Thor came out, that he did like a couple years before he did Thor. It's like nobody knew who Chris Hemsworth was. I mean, it's funny thing about Triple H now, because he saw him in Blade and he was horrible. But what if he was like as a decent actor like John Cena, and it was like moderately successful, and like Triple H is like, "Oh, I'm not wrestling anymore because I'm doing this whole, my old ass is doing action movies." So he's like a regular Marvel guy, and it's not like a big deal for Marvel. He's just in Marvel. WWE would look a whole lot different. Because you think about all the NXT women's stuff, Mae Young Classic, just the talent they get and everything like that. Vince ain't touching that. Like, how? Like, it's just amazing. Like, I didn't even think about that until somebody brought that up online. Like, how little, like, something that small can have that so much, that much of an impact. Like, this, like, wrestling's always been like that. Like, John Cena's career would have looked a lot different had The Rock not left and Brock Lesnar not left.
Yeah.
For an example, because it's like, Dove, like, The Rock left to do movies, and he's still in his late 20s. Brock Lesnar left to do other stuff, and he was still in his late 20s. Like, John Cena's not being John Cena if those two are still around to suck air.
it also makes it like, yeah, Randy Orton, all those guys, all of, damn. Yeah, that's a tough one to get the head around, because he was such an influential part. Now, where you stand on that's, you know, up to debate, but maybe we wouldn't have, well, I guess we would have, I was like, maybe we wouldn't have gotten the whole Booker T angle, but, you know, I'm pretty sure we would have anyways, but yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I thought about that because we're going to move to wrestling too, because I thought about that when Batista came, when he was on the SmackDown 1000 thing, and like, you can tell one that, you know, they all like had like still had like great interaction with each other, and they probably had like a lot of stories they probably couldn't even talk about. And then it's just funny where I don't know who was better, like Randy Orton being an asshole making fun of everybody else, like, you know, why are you busy having a suit on, and why are you busy wearing makeup, and why are you busy being old and living through your daughter, I'm here at work like doing stuff.
Well, I also like how Randy got set up and he's the only one wearing a suit. It's like
grown man Randy Orton. Like, out of the four of them, who would have thought Randy Orton would be like the professional dress one out of that?
Yeah. Yeah, like Triple H, I'm thinking, what a weird reunion, because nobody dressed up like in character, I guess if you want to put it that way. Like, I expect them to all come out in suits, you know, doing the whole like Evolution Big Money thing. Batista comes out in jeans and t-shirt with his goofy hat, and Ric Flair's out there looking healthier finally. Randy Orton in his suit that I think got from JCPenney, and there's Triple H just in his I'm doing the DX thing right now phase. So yeah, it was weird. I enjoyed it though. I mean, mm-hmm. Batista and talking shit, it's always great. So
yeah, like, you know, you done everything, Triple H. You stare at the business. You done everything but beat me. And then they're just staring at each other. He's looking, and Batista's looking. And I don't know what it is, but people come back like, because the same thing happened when The Rock and Triple H interacted. People like, are they going to wrestle WrestleMania? It's like, all it takes is a little promo, and people just start wondering. Yeah. Like, that's all it takes sometimes, because like, you hadn't even thought about that. Batista says one line, and they're just staring at each other, and then Ric Flair breaks it up and is like, oh, I didn't even think about them wrestling again, and now I'm intrigued. But, you know, that's a good memory of wrestling. Monday was not a good memory at all. No. And I knew something was up because Roman Reigns came. Not that he wasn't have his wrestling gear on. He didn't have the vest on, and he was like, he just had on a regular shirt and pants. And I'm like, yeah, something is up.
When he came out, he was in street clothes. Well, it didn't occur to me he was in street clothes. I was like, oh, so this is Universal Champion Roman Reigns coming out. Okay. And then he started in his promo, and I'm going, or his speech. I guess it's not a promo, it's a speech in this case. I'm going, what's he doing? Like, are they going to do another one of these attempts to make us love him? Like, oh my God, enough. You know, I'm just a guy named Joe. I was like, really? And I did this on Stunt Granny Audio last night, too. And then he goes, I've been battling leukemia for 11 years. And I went, what was that? And unfortunately, it's come back. And I went, what? It was shocking. Because I honestly thought it was all just an angle. I'm going to come out here and try and be the sympathetic one again. It's like, okay. What were you? And then I immediately hit you up, and I hit Kevin up. And I'm like, you're watching this, right? Or whatever I said to you. And I text Kevin. I was like, are you watching live? No, I'm walking the dog. It's like, you need to watch when you get home. The beginning is gigantic. So,
yeah, I was watching live. Like, I knew some, because I heard he didn't wrestle over the weekend because he was injured. But I didn't know any details beyond that. No, as soon as he came out, I'm like, something's up. I figured, like, you know, maybe he has an injury and he has to give up the title because it's like he blew out a shoulder or something like that. But no, when he started talking about the whole my name is Joe, I'm like, yeah, this ain't no I just got hurt thing. This is some serious stuff. It's like I had leukemia. And leukemia is a nicer way of saying cancer. And it's okay. Like,
I'm so yes. Stupid sometimes. I'm like, okay, so what do we do here? And then I was like, oh shit, that's actually like, I know leukemia is bad. I'm not that dumb. But it didn't occur to me. That's just another form of cancer. Yeah. Like, holy shit.
Like, just imagine your top guy in, like, his health prime.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got cancer. I got to give the belt up. Like, yeah. Like, I'm watching this, and I'm like, what? Because you hadn't heard about this kind of whole thing. Like, you know, he had it 11 years ago, and it was in remission. Like, you know, it went away, and it's everything like that. And you showing the crowd, people just bawling. I got emotional. And I don't know why. Is there something about it? Like, this is just like, it was just so damn shocking. And I will not lie. When he finished, and he went to the back, and Dean and Seth came out there, and I'm looking at them, I'm like, this is tough to watch. Like, this is just so, because Dean is just trying to, like, you know, he's just a weird guy, how he show emotion. Like, he didn't know how to, he was almost like, you know, I know this is bad. I don't know how to express myself. I'm just doing the best I can. Seth looked like he's about to lose it. Like,
that Seth was just did something. Start losing it.
Yeah.
And he kept looking at the camera, and you could tell it was one of those, are you done yet? Are you done yet? Like, can we get out of here?
Yeah.
Because the news that came out today, apparently, outside of a few people, nobody knew backstage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they didn't even tell people to watch the monitors, apparently. Nothing. That really took me by surprise.
Yeah, and you see him go backstage, and you see him with, you know, Triple H and Shawn Michaels hugging. And then when you see other wrestlers came out, like... Yeah, like, Finn is all, like, he's been trying, like, it was just tough. Paul Heyman coming out there and cutting that speech and everything, and you see that happen. And then, you know, like, Renee Young and talking, like, you know, my husband don't like this, Michael Cole saying how, you know, how, like, we live in this world where it's, like, alternative thing, and we tend to forget, like, these are human beings. Corey Graves, like, he was bawling his damn eyes out. I can't blame any of them. Like, they didn't know, like, one of your coworkers come out, hey, y'all, I got cancer. Peace out. Hopefully that's okay. And people kind of brushing off. Yeah, when cancer goes away and then it comes back, it's real tough to deal with the second time. Like, there ain't no guarantee. Like, hopefully he'll be back. It is no guarantee that we see him wrestle again. Like, I hope people tend to not brush that aside. Like, oh, he just do some therapy. He'll be back by SummerSlam. It's like, I'm just hoping he lives. Like, that's how serious it can be. So you see that happen. And then you see the segment, because it's like, you know, Susan G. Komen stuff. And you see Titus. And you see Titus there with the women. It's like, you know, they overcame cancer. Unlike my mom who died. And let's cheer for them. And it's like, that's all tough. So it's like setting everything like up. And then they win the tag team title. It's like, okay, it's a field goal moment. And then Dean turns on Seth. Man, I don't know how I felt about that, because it didn't bother me, but if I felt off, if that makes sense. So maybe it did bother me. Like, I felt a certain way. Not like I necessarily blame them, because it's kind of like, it definitely worked. But you know what I thought about? You know how people always complain, like, you know, wrestling misses its emotion. It's not like the old days when stuff meant something and the fans were into it and they were emotionally invested. And I'm like, this is what it looked like. How y'all feel about that now? Because I used to get tired of hearing that all the time. It's like, yeah, wrestling used to do some scumbag stuff to get there. And I'm like, this just felt like some old school stuff they used to do in the 70s, 80s. And you can see, like, watching Seth and Dean's face while that's going on, and watching the fans, they like, I had to look like, I don't want, like, this is effective, but I don't want to see this.
See, I talked about it, Chris was kind of in the same boat as you. I know, like, Meltzer, a lot of the big guys, they didn't like it either. I kind of liked it. I know, one, Roman was like, the show goes on, and, okay, and I know you can do it some other time, but when that happened, I'm trying not to rehash everything I said last night, so if you guys want to hear the complete thought, Stunt Granny Audio 480, I enjoyed it, because, one, it was shocking, and when's the last time we had, like, a babyface turn, not like as they were trying to win the titles, they just won them. So everything seemed safe, and people love Dean Ambrose, people love Seth Rollins now. Which we'll get back to the Joe part. Well, I didn't get it wrong, I guess. We'll get to the Roman part, back to him in a second. They love that team, you know, and WWE just had part of it taken away from them, you know, and then they just went, nope, it's dead. And that pissed people off. And yeah, I know Brian Alvarez has been going nuts. All they had to do was give him a happy ending. Well, not always. And I know I see the other side of it too. But me personally, this is how I would have done it too. So
I mean, I'm not saying it's not effective, because it definitely worked, and I don't necessarily blame them for doing it either, because it's like no one saw it coming. It definitely means more now because of like all the stuff that happened before, and that part was like, I get why they did it. I don't even have a problem with them doing it. It was just one of those things where I didn't like watching it, and I know that's probably the point, cause like you weren't supposed to like watch, like it's one of those things where yeah, you shouldn't like it, this is a bad thing happened, but it's like it was uncomfortable, and not in like an uncomfortable entertainment way, like uncomfortable just like, because I know the show goes on. Imagine how they felt doing that. Like, because you could tell looking at them. Like, it wasn't one of those whole, I'm turning on you, and those, like, you know, over-the-top cartoonish way type things. And it wasn't even like the whole, because the lad, like, when Seth Rollins turned on Dean and Roman, the night after they beat Evolution, and then Seth broke up. And that was real shocking, because that came out of nowhere. But that was, like, shocking and wrestling, but not the whole emotional. This one's like, you looking at them, it's like, just imagine what's going through their head knowing they have to do this after hearing what their friend is going through, and it's all wrapped in this storyline. Like, Dean Ambrose is going to be the most hated man in WWE.
Yeah,
it's effective. Like, and it's kind of like, he's dealing with doing all that. Like, it's good that that worked toward him, but it's kind of like, yeah, the show's going on, but I got this because my friend got cancer.
Well, they and said he we was all turn at Survivor Series anyways.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, it was going, everybody knew it was going to kind of turn, and I think the thing was, not that he turned, but he turned, and like, not the necessarily happy ending thing, because had they lost, and then he done it, I don't think it'd been as shocking. It still would have been shocking, because you don't think to do the turn thing, but the fact that they won threw everybody off.
Yes.
Because it's kind of like, okay, you're going, you know, we got this bad news. You're going to send people home and everything like that. And it's kind of like, and it's in a weird position, because it came up with the whole thing talking about, are the women getting a short thrift? Should they have gone on last? And like, had this not happened, yeah, they should have gone on last. There's no way to go on last with this story. Like, once Roman Reigns came out and said what he said, it's like that kind of, and that was the biggest issue with the women in, you know, Steve brought up a good point. The same thing happened to ECW and did the One Night Stand. It was like, they were stuck between two pay-per-views that were getting hyped, and it was kind of like, we don't got time for everything, and this is going to get sold off nostalgia and off of, you know, this is the first time happening anyway. And I know a lot of people had issues with the build-up and Evolution, and I can see it was like, you had three shows that was going on. Like, you had the show before Evolution, they had to build up toward that, with the women still involved in, and you got the Crown Jewel stuff that they kind of hyping without hyping because of all that mess involved with that. And I'm like, this is a, to be honest, this was like a two-match show anyway. Like, if okay. we're really gonna be real, like,
I don't know, I don't know how far you want to go with this, but that's their fault, though. They made it a two match show because they put one too many things on the table, and then two, no effort put into this thing.
I don't have as much of a problem as other people have, because if we're honest with ourselves, most of the attention that they're getting, like mainstream wise, is from Ronda Rousey and Nikki Bella. Mm-hmm. Most of the wrestling stuff is from Charlotte and Becky Lynch. The other stuff is just like, I mean, if we really be honest with ourselves, most pay-per-views happen because like there's importance, like the big two matches. Everything else is kind of like, we'll get there when we get there. If it's great when it's there, it's fine. And if it has build up, it's cool. Because I use the perfect example. Look at SummerSlam. They had like 11 matches. 10 of them had great build up. 8 of them got lost in the sauce. Because it was a case of like, you had too much of a good thing. Think of the example, the Daniel Bryan Miz thing. On most shows would have been like the second or third most important match, and that one was like 6. That was because it was kind of the whole thing where you can have too much of a thing. I'm not saying that they couldn't have done a better job, because they could have. The battle royal thing is like, yeah, but even then it's kind of like, unless you're going to have a title there, how much could you have built up that people would have really cared about? Like honestly, like you look out the biggest issue I think with the women is like they had to serve too many masters, and it's not just the women, it's everybody. They had to serve too many masters. The Triple H Undertaker thing has been built up like 3-4 months, and this has been sucking air from everything else, because it went from Triple H to Undertaker to now is DX. Like the whole thing, DX is coming out of retirement to Russell Kane and Undertaker in Saudi Arabia. Like,
well maybe.
Yeah, or wherever they're going to wrestle. It may not be Saudi Arabia. It's going to be somewhere else. Because they don't mention Saudi Arabia, but they mention that they're going to have the match.
Okay. So. I agree with you on all that. But there's one sticking point. And I said this on the show last night. I'm a big proponent of women's wrestling. I always have been. So maybe this is... Maybe I'm over judgmental on this. They knew this was coming for how many months? They knew Evolution was coming. They knew they had this other stuff going. They made, and they still are making a gigantic issue. A gigantic selling point, sticking point, historical note that this is the first ever all women's pay per view. Well, if that's the case, great. It's not, but whatever. Then give it some importance. Like, I understand what you're saying, because you're not wrong. That's why there's called main events, you know? But if you're really going to make this historical event, you're really going to give it your all, then... Oh, wait a minute. They didn't give it their all. And I know there's all this stuff is going on, but it's not like, you know, a company has a lot of moving parts. So, and they've got, what, 35 writers or something ridiculous like that. And yeah, one guy is controlling it all. Maybe he's not that into it.
No, that's the biggest issue. It's kind of like Vince and Stephanie are not as much into it as Triple H is. Mm-hmm. Like, Stephanie's always seen like the whole thing. Like, she makes this whole song and dance about how important women are. But Triple H has always been the one to kind of push that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like this stuck in the whole thing. It's like, yeah, they should have pushed it more, but it's like a country throwing a boatload of money to them. Like, that's, I mean, push come to shove, that's going to take precedence in Vince's eyes. Like, this other stuff is more important. And they kind of got lazy. Like, we got Ronda Rousey, we got Nikki Bella, we can throw them on the Today Show or Newsweek or anything like that, and Rolling Stone, and that'll be fine. Like, they basically got the whole thing. Like, we can sell on that, and we can sell the hardcore fans on Charlotte versus Becky Lynch and then the nostalgia stuff. And the sad thing is, for as much as we complain about it, they're going to be right, because we're going to watch it anyway. And it's kind of like the only thing that I'm missing that I would have liked more is if they would have found a way to have like women tag team titles. But beyond that, it's really no other feuds or any matches that's like, I would have loved them to build up to see. Like, if I'm really being honest with myself, it's kind of like, what's there missing that should be there? That, like, if I was doing, like, you know, because I don't do that whole if I was booking type thing, because, like, I'm not, and that's for other people that get paid to do that. But, yeah, like, what's really is kind of like, they could have done better, but I don't know how they could have done better. Like, what's there missing that's like, I wish they would have did this versus this?
Okay, well, one thing, we talked about this last night, we couldn't figure it out. When they're going through the rundown of all the matches, right, they aren't mentioning the Mae Young Classic anymore. So I'm trying to figure out, is that actually going to be on the card or not?
No, they say they're going the winner. They haven't mentioned the names because they don't want to spoil the names. Well, they've been saying it.
Well, no, like, no, I got that, but I don't remember last night on either show them mentioning the Mae Young Classic at all as part of it.
I did.
So okay, all right, cool. Well, then Chris and I both, that's fine, because I like I said, I don't remember seeing it. So
yeah,
good. Well, no, that's good, because that would have been some colossal bullshit if that would have been taken off of it. So
no, because the hard thing is like we need to hype this match without spoiling who it is.
Yeah, I forget who it is too. So
yeah. I mean, if the semifinals come on tonight, you see the brackets, you kind of guess. And I'll just, like, didn't know, once it got to this point, you kind of guess where it's going based on who's wrestling who and everything like that. And it was kind of like, you know, I know Chris had a big deal with the Battle Royal thing. It's like, we're just going to have a 2 6-man tag matches that no one's going to care about.
I think
it's
if the rest of the card would have been fleshed out better, that a Battle Royal wouldn't have been a bad thing. Like, put like, Dana Brooke and Tamina and them in there, you know? Although, what pay-per-view was it where Tamina and... Wait, what? It was a Royal Rumble, wasn't it? Holy shit, was that it? When Tamina and... oh, my God, the other big girl.
Nia Jax.
Thank you. I kept wanting to say Nikki Cox, which is an actress. Wow. Anyways... Remember how the crowd got hyped for that? And yeah, I know the match wouldn't deliver because, let's face it, Nia's not all that good. And Tamina has barely been in the ring all year. So, but as much as I like seeing two big men go at it, seeing two big women like that beat each other up for, whatever, five?
2 minutes?
Yeah.
Three minutes? And then what? It's kind of like, yeah, it's the whole breakdown. It's like you start thinking about stuff. It's like, okay, that would be a good thing for 2-3 minutes. And then like, where does it lead to? It's like, it's a lot of women where you don't mind seeing them until you think about what type of match you want to do. They talking about, you know, Maria coming back, Michelle. Like, what's Kelly going to do? If not a battle royal, like some of these women hadn't wrestled in a long time. Like Maria hadn't. She just coming back from injury. It's not like she was wrestling a whole lot before she even got to WWE, and she hasn't really wrestled at all since she's been back. Like, they just got back to TV. So it's kind of like you start breaking down the logistics, and unless you want to have more NXT-involved matches, you're going to always have this problem. That was the biggest thing, is like when you start breaking the matches down, and the bigger thing is like, when they did the Australia stuff, that, like, you know, yeah, you could have a tag match with Asuka and Naomi versus the Iconics, but they did that in Australia. Yeah, you could have had, like, you could have matches sucking up, like, you had shows that had to have women's matches too, and a lot of matches built up there took away from Evolution. I think it was just a time and money issue. Like, Evolution's this good date, but we doing this big thing in Australia, and the Kingdom of Saud is throwing us these boatloads of money. So, yeah, sorry, women. You're going to have to go. I know this is your first show, but you're still women.
What's also, which kind of goes in the face of this Evolution and the women being treated equal with men, which we both know isn't the case anyways. At least, not in my eyes, but in that company's eyes, because there's a definite divide. And for more on my opinion on this, go listen to Stunk Radio Audio 480. Because we should probably get moving.
Before we go, I want you to pick one of the movies that you watched because you've been exploring the beauties of cable and you've been catching up on movies. Dude. And matter of fact, I want you to talk about The Mummy.
I was actually going to do Alien Covenant. Because to me, they're on par with each other. Two stupid-ass movies. But at least Covenant was a pretty movie to watch. The Mummy, what was that? Like, okay, one, all right, so I didn't know you didn't like it as much as you didn't like it until that one episode where you went, oof, good luck. And I was like, wait, what? I thought it was okay. And
no, I must have not have told you how much I disliked it when we did the show about it, because we talked about it on the show. Yeah. I guess that was my fault. Yeah, when you said you were watching that, I just started laughing to myself. Okay,
so one, you remember how baller that trailer was?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's getting tossed around, and then they showed another one where it was like getting a little bit the CGI, and I'm like, I don't know about this one. And then it was discovered it was going to be part of the Dark Universe. Which, by the way, as an aside, I watched, was it Dracula Untold?
Mm-hmm.
So, that was supposed to be the first one?
Ugh. That was one of those, apparently, like, it was supposed to be until it didn't work, and then they said it wasn't, and it's kind of funny where that one was actually better than this one, which is just funny in hindsight. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, she's watching Dracula Untold, and my wife has terrible taste in movies, so I'm just going to put that out there. And then she's like, oh, this ain't so bad. And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, okay. I watched Mummy on my own. She was a little annoyed, and I just went, it's not good, so don't worry about it. She goes, oh, no. I'm like, yeah, it's – okay. So he's – I'm going to make sure I get this straight. He works – he's part of the Army, right? Special Services, yeah. Something in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They fall in this thing. He's trying to tell a guy not to be scared of camel spiders. Because that's what bit him. His friend turns into a zombie on the ship, because, you know, that's what happens. And then it was like they had an idea for a couple different movies. Like, all right, hey, let's make a horror movie on a plane real quick. All right, cool. All right, let's go on and make this movie. All right, cool, let's do that. And then someone goes, hey, this is supposed to be the Mummy, guys. Oh, yeah, we need to put a mummy in here all of a sudden. But it's not really the Mummy. It's going to be Tom Cruise, who's the love of her life. And she stabs him. And then all of a sudden, Russell Crowe shows up. And like,
I like how you talked and you just ignored the part where he died.
Yes, I'm sorry. I did forget about that. Yes, so he doesn't survive the plane crash. Then he wakes up in the morgue, and nobody, like, he wasn't immediately taken into custody or taken into the hospital to go undergo testing. Like, and I know this is, like, logistic stuff, but...
Something strange happened. No shit, something strange happened. Like, y'all were all on this damn plane. The plane crashed. Y'all had him in a bag. He woke up, and you're like, oh, we got to get to the bottom of this. Let's talk to these dudes in London.
And I'm actually focusing way too much on, like, the stupid stuff like this, which the big thing in this movie is Tom Cruise miscast himself in this movie. That character should have never been Tom Cruise.
It's not likable. Like, that's the biggest issue, and it's funny when you compare that to the original Mummy with Brendan Fraser. That Mummy's fun. That Mummy movie is fun. Like, it's funny where I kind of took it for granted because I used to watch that one and Mummy Returns, and it's like, hey, these nice fun movies. No, those movies are real fun movies, and then you don't realize it until you watch other movies try to do it. It's like, this movie's not fun because, one, he's an asshole, like, and he doesn't really redeem himself to the end, if you could call that redemption. And it's like, he's a cradle robber. Basically, his whole thing is like, you know, if Indiana Jones was an asshole. That wasn't charismatic. That's him. Lie, you know, stuff. This woman to steal this map, to steal this treasure, and that whole thing. We trying to find this place, and it's like, you know, haram in Arabic means like, you know, evil or wrong or forbidden, and it's just like, it's not a city, like they point on there, and I'm just looking at like, it's not. Imagine you going to Texas, like, we're gonna find this treasure next to evil Texas.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how it works. And then the whole story when she comes back and is, you know, they tell the mummy's backstory and she's trying to explain herself, and he's like, you know, you killed your father. I loved my father so much. I just want to prove myself to him. You killed the child and mother. Like, times were different back then. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, somebody wrote this in a script. Times were different back then.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck this movie. It's way before, it's even before like Russell Crowe shows up doing whatever Russell Crowe was doing in that movie.
Yeah, that's actually a good way to put it. Like, what are you doing here? And I thought about that of everybody that wasn't Tom Cruise. Like, I thought of that Tom Cruise just because, like, wait, what? Like, he's played a jerk off before in movies, so
yes.
It's okay, all right? But you don't want your lead guy of, like, a potential franchise being unlikable, because there's even that part where she's like, no, you are a good person. You gave me the last parachute. And he looks over at her, and without, like, a wink and a smile or a laugh or any of that stuff, he goes, I thought there was another one. Well, wait a minute. I mean, you can have movies that challenge the viewer, that challenge the viewer's expectations. This wasn't one of them. This was just stupid. Because I know it's the Dark Universe or whatever they're trying to pawn off, but...
Hey, that universe is dead on arrival.
Yeah.
All those movies afterward have been postponed or canceled.
As they and should it's be, just
like,
so...
Yeah, it's kind of like people... learn the wrong lessons from like this, how to build, you got to build universes that people actually care about, and you got to make them like that. And this whole thing is like, okay, the whole plan, like, you had to move with the mummy, you got Sophia Boutella that barely does anything half the time, and she's just there to do like somebody for Tom Cruise to get licked on.
Yep.
And then he died, like, you know, first he dies, and it's like, you know, she gets her plan. I become evil. I'm gonna use this power to stop her, bring my girl back to life, and then just leave. And then he brings the other guy back to life, and they're just gonna, what, adventures in the desert? Nobody's gonna say anything. Oh, you know, we got this, because he's a monster at this point. It's like, oh, you know, we got this evil monster running around somewhere in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Maybe y'all do something about that. Like, no, you know, maybe he might come save the day when the Wolfman show up. What? Like, what? Like, I'm watching this and I'm like, why would somebody would watch this and then think, you know, we're gonna start a movie universe from this? And yeah, it was like, it was directed by, who's the guy? Kiva Goldsman, like a writer. Like, he, and then Tom Cruise came and changed up the script. He brought in Christopher McQuarrie to quote unquote fix the script because they didn't like how it was going. And you could tell, like, this movie just didn't, it was just wrong-headed. It was the main thought I got from it. Like, it wasn't, and it wasn't fun.
That's the whole thing. It was boring. Like, it wasn't fun because the character sucked. But then at the same time, like, there was nothing special in this. It was just, hey, let's go through the motions on this one. And I don't know, man. I was so turned off watching it going, this, that preview of the plane crash was sweet. And then the other thing I don't like, and they did this in the original, I'm sorry, not the original, but the other Mummy movies, everything got gigantic. And it's like, all right, we're having a Mummy movie. Well, nope, now she's turned into a giant sand monster. It's like, why?
Because it's spectacle.
And Tom Cruise got the run, so I started
And he wasn't even running that fast.
No, not Mission Impossible fast, no.
Yeah, it was like, you know, and then the only time I laughed is the first time they fought, because when they were in the forest, and the van crashed, and he's about to fight the mummy, and the English girl's like, go ahead, kill her, kick her ass, go ahead. And he swings with the tree, and she uppercuts him like a zillion feet in the air. Like, she uppercuts him, and like 5 seconds later, he just lands like head first. Like that part got a chuckle out of me. And then Russell Crowe being like drunk Professor Xavier, or like whatever he was doing, like, Dr. Sting, and sometimes I need to take me drugs because I turn into a rapscallion. And like, Russ, you were Gladiator, you were Maximus.
Yeah, you were.
you were a beautiful mind. Like, you were our guy. And now I just see, like, you know, he's enjoying life. I don't know. I thought it was weird when he popped up in that RZA Kung Fu movie.
Yes.
doing what he was doing, like, how that, like, I thought that was funny. But that's him, like, I'm Dr. Jekyll, and I'm gonna be the Nick Fury of this monster universe. And I'm just sitting here like, boy, y'all, everybody swear we can just throw some stuff together and just make a universe. And it's funny, like, the only ones that have done is like Marvel and the ones that's doing Godzilla and King Kong. And imagine the Godzilla and King Kong one being the other successful one.
Yeah, because DC's trying, and well, I guess we don't have time to get into it, but yeah, they even pushed Wonder Woman back. So, but yeah, no. So on a Jeremy catching up on movie scale of recommendations, just delete it from your DVR. It's for a Tom Cruise movie. This was a gigantic disappointment because he's made bad movies. He makes not good movies. He doesn't make really bad movies. And this was one. Very, very surprising.
Oh, it was this one and that second Jack Reacher movie. Was like,
I refused to watch because I heard how bad it is. So.
That one's trash. Like, I started watching, like, yeah. So, thank God for Mission Impossible. Fallout. So.
Yeah, and I actually liked American Made. I don't know if you got to that or not.
I haven't got to it. I need to get to it whenever I find a cold day in hell when nothing else is on TV.
I liked it. I think it was just redundant for the time because... when it came out, you had Narcos, you had all of these drug movies coming through, cartel movies, I should say, and that's what this is. So, but anyways, yeah, we're gonna get out of here. We're gonna try, if someone catches up on Daredevil, have a special show later, which will be out Monday if we do it. And then, so thanks for listening, guys. Stunk Granny on social media. We watch stuff on podcast platforms along with Stunk Granny. Yeah, that's it for me. I'm out. Talk to you later.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Dohati, and men and women, get you somebody that loves you as much as Kingpin loves Vanessa. We are out.
Just wait.